when he called that I was looking out the window at three deer, and he said he was looking at a lizard. So he's so it's all good, I guess. He's down in Florida right now, so it's good. We are going to be in Romans 8. Our text this morning is going to be 9 through 11. I'd like to actually start in 8 and read 1 through 8 prior to that, but that's where we're going to be, so you want to turn there. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful for your love. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for our pastor and his wife, and we thank you for the time that they can be away to just unwind and renew and get rejuvenated, and they come back here ready to serve in a way that will be a blessing to Indian River Baptist Church. Pray for their safety as they're down there, and of course as they drive home this coming Tuesday. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to just open your word this morning. We pray, Father, that if there's somebody here today that may not know you as Savior, that you'll speak to their heart. I pray for my brothers and sisters here today as we look into your word, that we would glean from it. We would be able to share the gospel with folks that we come in contact with this week. And Lord, just glorify you in all we do. Lord, I pray this morning also for churches around this great country of ours and around the world that are opening your word today and preaching. Lord, I pray a special blessing on them. And, of course, I pray for brothers and sisters this morning in harm's way, that you would be with them and their families. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So Romans 8. Starting in verse 1, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There are two principles that are being talked about in chapter 8. Primarily, one is the work of Christ for us and the person of Christ in us. And if we look back in Romans 8, verse 3, it says this, "For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us." That's talking about what God did on the cross, Jesus Christ did on the cross for you and I, dying for our sins. It says right here that there was a righteous requirement. Well, Pastor talked about that last week, that righteous requirement was death, right? We had to have a sin sacrifice because of God's perfect righteousness. He can't abide sin. You and I couldn't do it. We found through the law that the Israelites could not live by the law. It illuminated their condition, right? But as Pastor mentioned last week, that signpost that we see doesn't put us there, right? So just because you know what sin is from the law doesn't mean that you're going to be able to keep it. And indeed, they could not keep the law. You and I can't keep the law. We see a speed limit sign, we often, okay, well, that means I can go 3-4 miles above that, right? Because they don't stop us until I, you know, until you go 80 or whatever that number is in your mind. But when they pull you over, you have no, you know, you have no excuse. You knew what the law was, but you broke it. You chose to break it, and that's what we do, unfortunately. So there was that righteous requirement for that sin that you and I couldn't meet, but Jesus Christ did meet that. He came as our sacrifice. He gave himself up to be crucified on the cross, scourged in a most terrible way, and died. But then he rose again, and that was for you and I. And so we know that that sacrifice was for you and I. That was Christ for us. And the first part says, now there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Jesus Christ. Not because of anything that we've done, because there's nothing we can do. But it's because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But then there's also that the person of Christ in us. And if we look at chapter 8 here, look at the second part of 4. It says, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. That is Christ in us. If you indeed have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are indwelled with the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And that sealing through that salvation, through his Spirit, is that life in the Spirit that we seek to follow, not to follow the flesh. Because we know from the Scripture that following the flesh means death, right? Sin. But following God's precepts, following the teaching and the leading of the Holy Spirit is life. That's salvation. Those of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today have been indwelled by the Spirit. You've been sealed. You have life now. You have life for all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Father. Those of you that may be here today that have never accepted Christ today, you don't have that. You may not understand that. You may say, well, what's he talking about? It's kind of a crazy thought, a crazy idea. If that's you today, I would ask that you would, with the Lord's leading, that you would not leave here today before you ask me or ask somebody. If you're a young lady that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I will certainly lead or direct you to a lady in our congregation that can share the gospel with you. If you just have questions, please don't leave here today until you find out about what salvation really means, what salvation is and what salvation isn't. A lot of false teachings today about salvation from different churches. I'd like to share from you from the gospel what salvation is. And I hope you'll heed that today. Romans 7 through 11. And that includes the 9 through 11, the text that we're going to be doing today. It says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, church, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Hopefully that's all of us here today. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness, If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. There's three observations I'd like to make today. If you look in Romans 8, 9, the first part of that, it says this. It says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you." If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you have been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. If you have not been indwelled by the Holy Spirit, you have no salvation. That's clear in this scripture. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 11, it says this. It says, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him," it's the gospel message here, "you were sealed by the promised Holy Spirit, who is," and this is the cool part, "who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. It is the praise of His glory." That, when we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, that's a guarantee of what is to come, that we are His and His alone. And we can't lose that. That can't be taken from us. That's God's decision, right? That's God's law. He wants us as His. And all we have to do is accept the truth about what Christ did on the cross, and that He is our Savior. He is the one that was worthy to pay that price. He was the righteous requirement needed to pay that sin debt. And that was for you and I, everyone in this room, everyone in this world. That's who He paid that debt for. All He's asking is that we accept it, right? And many of us in this room have. If you haven't, I pray that this would be the day that you would accept the truth about it. So that's one observation, that the Spirit of God indwells us as believers. We are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Here's a well-known passage, 2 Corinthians 5:17, which many of us know. It says this. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I was in Germany for a number of years. We used to run with a group there. Sadly to say, that we're not believers. We did a lot of scuba diving, and we belonged to a scuba club. And anybody that's been around diving or been in those areas realize there's a lot that goes on that ought not go on in the Christian life. And we had met a couple there, Sonia and I, that they were actually, Mike, you might appreciate this, they actually worked for Honeywell, and they were in Germany because they were DoD contractors. And we got to know them through the scuba club, and they were lost as lost can be. In fact, he was in his 30s, married to, I don't know, she must have been a 19-year-old. We used to call her the princess because she just acted like a princess. Nice lady, but nice girl, I guess I should say. But she acted very much like a princess, and we used to just... We used to get such a kick out of that, and Sonny and I would, and others, we had a good time. They were nice folks, but lost. And of course, at the time, Sonia was seeking the truth, and sad to say, I was backslidden as could be, And we, so I was of no help, help that I could really teach Sonia about the truth, other than, well, yeah, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, but I had no growth, so I couldn't do that. Well, they left. They left Germany. They went back to the States. And a couple years later, they showed up on our doorstep. They were new creatures. And you can tell somebody that has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ because there's something different about them. And they, the minute that they came in that door, there was something different. This princess was no longer the princess. She was a young lady that was just a godly woman, and that was evident when we talked to her. And this is how the Lord works. We, Sonia had been going to, she was in law school in Mannheim, Germany, and she and I had were really seeking a place that we could worship. And when they came in, they were just there for 6 months, but they came in and they said, would you guys like to go to church with us? Is that not God's hand on this couple that have come back as new creatures in Christ and talked to Sonia and I and said, would you like to go to church? And of course, yes, we would. I mean, timing, God's timing. And through that, Sonia surrendered her life to Christ, the meeting in that church. And that was just a wonderful time for both of us, of growth and learning more about the Lord Jesus Christ. But that spirit, that indwelling spirit, changes you. We become new creatures. We're not the same folks. Do you remember your day of salvation? I bet you I could go around this room and everybody would tell a testimony about what happened to them that day that you remember. You remember a time when you said, Lord, save me. For me, I was a kid in Southeast Texas, walking down a road one night. I'd been under the Sunday school teacher, Paul Perry. I'll never forget this guy. He was a pharmacist. Gave me my first Bible. I don't know. He took a liking to me, you know, and I just thought he was a weird dude. Honestly, what a weird dude, you know. But something stuck with this man, and he gave me that Bible, and I thought that was cool, because my dad was, he was in Korea at the time. He'd been gone for a year, you know, and so this guy who took an interest, you know, this weird dude that took an interest, gave me something, and it was more than a book. It was an understanding of who God was and what Christ did on the cross. And what that meant for me, and what that meant for you. And when I truly understood that, I remember in my heart, I probably already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm 13 years old. I'm working through this. So my mom, who used to jog 3 miles a day, I'm out with her, and we're walking the road, and I said, Mom, what does it mean? You know, how do I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? And her counsel to me at that time, letting me know that that's a question that if you are asking, you probably already there. You probably already know the truth. And all you have to do is ask him to forgive you of your sins and accept for what he did on the cross. And that's what I did that night. And I probably could get a witness in here. It is like the world, the weight of this young kid who wasn't even that old, but it was like this lifted off me. This burden was lifted off me. And it was put on the shoulders of the only one that could carry it, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I remembered that, and I don't forget it throughout my life, I can serve him better. I've been freed from sin, you know? And you're saying, well, yeah, but I know you. Well, I know you too. You know, we all struggle, right? I know you too. We struggle day to day. But that's where Satan will come in. That's where the devil will use that against us, right? You say, yeah, but look at you. I don't have to look at me, because it's not about me. It's about my Savior, right? And if we focus on who the Savior is and get off of the me thing, I can just keep on keeping on, you know, serving Christ. What a blessing that is. You can serve Christ right where you are, no matter what you've done today, no matter what you're going to do tomorrow, because if you are in Christ, you've already been forgiven. You just need to remember that. And we know what's going to happen. You and I are going to go in that day, we're going to realize that I really messed up, and we are going to be broken, and we're going to ask the Lord to forgive us, which, by the way, he's already done. But we're acknowledging that I messed up, and I'm just asking you to fill me with your Spirit, which is already in me. Just let me listen to that still small voice and just keep going for Christ. Ask for forgiveness, get it right with whoever you've wronged, and move on. What a testimony that is, if you can do that. It's a testimony. And oftentimes when you find yourself in that situation where you've done something that brings the shame of Christ upon you because of an action, just by surrendering that to the Lord, the burden will be lifted again, and you can just keep on serving. Don't ever let what you've done during that day keep you from serving the Lord. The devil would like to see that, like to see you not serve Christ because of what you've done. But if you get the focus off you, it's not about you. It's about what Christ did for you. Okay, so that's Christ in us and what he's done for us. What an amazing thing to see that change in people. And, you know, I've heard stories. You know, you talk about these stories. I mean, I've talked with Wayne, and I've talked with Bill Dietz. And, you know, prior to salvation, nothing for Wayne to run somebody over on the football field and be happy about. doing what you do, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, but playing a little harder than maybe you should have. But you did what you had to do. And then you talk to Bill Dietz about how he's transformed. And I'm sure I could go around this room and talk to individuals, and you could tell me, you know, how the Lord transformed your life, you know. And then that day of salvation, how that was all lifted, and there was a change in you. It may not have been an overnight thing. You know, we still are going through this sanctification process. We're growing to be more Christ-like. But we're getting better. We're doing better, right? We're doing better to be like Christ. And it's not about us. It's about we're being like Christ, who the Savior is. And then there's a second thing, and that is, you know, there's no salvation apart from the Spirit of Christ. If you look at Romans 8, look at the second part of verse 9. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. That's pretty plain. If you don't have that Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. If you're not indwelled with the Spirit, you don't belong to him. That's pretty straightforward. If you look at verse 10, it says, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And then John 1:2:27 says this, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. Talking about the Holy Spirit here. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So there is no salvation apart from the Spirit that verse 9 and 10 are talking about. The question is, will we listen to that still voice? That is where we live. We often want to do our own thing, believers. There are days days where we, as Pastor said, wake up and not feel saved, right? That doesn't change the reality that you are saved. That just means you need to begin your day by asking the Lord to get you started. Help me to serve you better today. Help me to do, help me to listen to that spirit that you've put in me to want to serve and be a testimony. We choose to listen or not to listen. And we need to make sure that we're doing that, that which is pleasing to God, even if you don't feel like it, right? Even if you don't feel like it. You need to change. You need to do the right thing. And then the last thing that I have here, we're quickened or made alive by the Spirit. Romans 8:11 says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you, give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Ephesians 2, 1 through 8, and I want to read that from the KJV. It says, in you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, talking about all of us pre-salvation, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And it goes on to talk about that way we can't boast about it. It's all about what the Lord has done for us. It's all about how Christ gave his life. He became that righteous requirement and fulfilled the law that you and I could have the burden of sin lifted from us just by accepting the truth of the cross. And then once we've done that, he'll seal us with his Spirit. And that can be that still small voice. That can be that teacher. That can be the help that we so richly need in our day-to-day walk. Somebody press their button, I take it? That's good. So we need to remember that through all of this, God quickens us. He raises us from the dead. He makes us alive through his Spirit. And through that renewed life that we have, we need to serve him. We need to praise him. We need to tell others about him. That's what this Christian walk is all about. That is our obligation as believers. You say, well, I'm freed from the law. Yes, you are. You're going to do that which is right, not because you have to, it's because you want to, because you want to serve the Savior. You don't want to bring shame to our Savior. You want to do that which is right. And the reason for that, and if you look at 1 Corinthians 6, it's 6, starting at verse 19, and this is actually, you know, Paul talking to the Corinthians, and of course they were going through all kinds of issues in 1 Corinthians, where it talks about sexual immorality and all those other things that was going on. But he says this, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're indwelled with the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. What's your obligation, believers, sisters and brothers? Jack Palmer was talking on Wednesday, and we were talking about the workplace and about our witness and our testimony. And he brought up a good point that there are times when you're going to be out in this world, in your workplace, school, wherever you might be, where you're not going to have an opportunity to talk because they don't want to hear it. Let's be frank about it. There's been many folks that have heard a message, but they equate that message with a walk of the individual who says it or who brings it to them, and they don't line up, and they don't want to have anything of it. They don't want to have anything of it. And I'm going to tell you a story. Years ago, when I was in the scuba club, excuse me, I remember sitting down with a guy having a beer. And the issue of Christ came up. And I, arrogant as I was, holding a beer, started to tell him about the love of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not here to say, you know, I'm not talking about the alcohol per se, but I am talking about a perception, and I'm talking about what that will do. That guy looked at me and he says, well, what makes you different than me? He made that equivalent, that you're drinking alcohol, which in his mind was taught that is anti-church, anti-God. Who are you to sit there and tell me about anything? It's a perception. It's the truth about your testimony and what that testimony means to others. You got to be very careful with your testimony, because if your talk doesn't line up, then there's a struggle. And Jack made the point that the folks that he's working with, or many of them, they don't want to hear it. So what does he do? He makes sure that he does everything, walks in the Spirit. He makes sure that he does everything that is honorable to God so that they can see that. Is that us? Do we do the same thing? Do we consciously think about when something happens in our lives and it's not good, how we're going to respond to that when others are watching us? Have you ever hit your thumb with a hammer? What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Don't tell me. Mine is, oh Lord, that hurt. And I'm telling God that it hurt, not that he didn't already know, but you've got to be careful at your response, especially when you're around folks, you know, because people do watch what you say. You know, what did you say, Jack? Your talk talks, your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So you got to remember that, you know, because it really does. People do look at that. And then the last thing here is, you know, maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe that's you. And maybe you don't understand that there is a sin debt that had to be paid. And the good news is it's already been paid for. Christ did it on the cross. And that you don't have a debt if you just accept the precious gift of what Christ already did on the cross. If you choose not to do that, okay, and we aren't guaranteed of time. We don't know what's going to happen in the next few minutes. That debt's going to be paid. Okay, it's going to be paid. It has to be paid. And if you don't accept the precious gift of what Christ has already done on the cross to pay for that debt, you will be forever separated from a merciful God, who, by the way, is merciful, even sending you to hell, because he's told you. He's told you what he what he expects from us. He was merciful enough to give his son to die on the cross for you and I. We just have to accept that. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted that, man, don't leave here before you talk to somebody. Come see me. If I can't answer the question, then I'll find somebody that can. And we'll help you understand from Scripture why it's so important to recognize what Christ did on the cross and accept the truth of that. Okay, don't leave here apart from that. With that, I'm going to close. I think we have a song of closing. I would like to encourage everybody to, if you're visiting with us, to come back next week when our pastor's here. He's been doing such a wonderful job in the book of Romans, and I know you'll get a blessing out of his teaching and his preaching of God's Word. And please come back tonight when our youth are going to be ministering to us. That's always a blessed time of fellowship. So let's stand. Let's have a word of prayer, and if Jack and folks will come up, we can close in a song. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth about the Spirit and how it indwells the believer. I pray, Father, that this morning you would speak to the believer about our walk with you. Help us to just do everything to bring glory and not shame. And Lord, I pray that you would help us with our testimonies, that we could share the gospel with folks, not only in word, but also in deed. And Lord, I pray for those that may be here today that do not know you as Savior, that you would be with them, give them a boldness to reach out to you. And I pray, Father, they wouldn't leave here until they accept you. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here that does accept you today, that you would give them the boldness to tell us about their accepting Christ. Lord, it's in your precious Son's name I pray. Amen.